This morning we're going to talk about who are you impressing? And many times in our lives we have experienced that awkward feeling when we wore the clothes that weren't in style. We wore the off-brand clothes and we got made fun of in school, or we got made fun of in our older years. We got made fun of because of the shoes that we wore. We felt awkward because we said something that wasn't accepted the way we wanted it to be. We told a joke and nobody laughed, or we maybe have carried that over into our adult years. Especially, we've said stuff that makes us feel awkward, and we all know that feeling when we say something and it wasn't accepted. We were trying to impress somebody, and we didn't quite get that impressed feeling that we wanted them to have with us. And so we might not say something in a meeting, in a business meeting at work. We might just kind of, well, I'd like to say something, but I don't think anybody's going to like it, or I might be rejected, so I'm going to keep quiet. You know, I want to make a change over here, but I'm afraid that, you know, they're just going to laugh at me. They're just going to mock me. They're going to make fun of me. And so all of our lives, to keep from having that awkward feeling, we do things to try to impress people, don't we? We do things to impress the world. We do things, and that starts at that young, very young age. Of like being a toddler, and they want to impress their parents with what they've done. Of, aren't you proud of me? And it might be something that we're not proud of. Like, they can roll the whole roll of toilet paper off in the commode, and they're real, aren't you impressed that I did this that quick? You know, we're really not impressed with that. We really don't want that. But they're proud of themselves. They want you to be impressed with them. And that carries over into our years of especially those mid-teen years of 14, 15, especially at 16. So we want to impress everybody. And especially something about 16-year-old guys, they have that real bad thing where they want to impress everybody, and especially impress those members of the opposite sex, don't they? They want to impress those females. And so they get vehicles that they hope will impress those females. And so they'll pull up to a red light with a really big truck and a really loud muffler. And they'll pull up and they'll see that girl over there in that car next to them, and they'll go, yeah. And so they'll hit the throttle a few times on the gas, and then as soon as that light turns green, they'll take off and leave her at the red light. She's just sitting in the dust, and who knows whether she's impressed or not, because you never went back to find out. And so your whole goal of wooing her to come to you, you never know if it worked or not. I'm not telling how many women that I wooed that I didn't go back and check on. And that 92 Bonneville, Hot Rods, family sedan. We try to impress folks, don't we? Try to impress them with what we drive, clothes we wear. It doesn't stop when we're 16. It doesn't stop when we're 25. It doesn't stop when you're 35, 55, or 65. You want people to be impressed with who you are, what you've become, what stuff you do, what stuff you've got. You want to pull up that red light and impress people that you'll never meet again because of what you drive. You want people to go drive by your house and be in awe at what kind of house that they live in. And I love riding old back roads and riding around through these old homesteads and these old farm towns. And on the way home from, I was in Murfreesboro for class a few days this past week. And on the way home, I took the very, very scenic route back from Murfreesboro, back to little old Athens, Alabama, and going through Shelbyville, where all the horses have just, the horse farms have taken over, really. And I was like, well, I don't remember it being like this 20 years ago. And 15 years ago, when we would go up here, and it was just a little streetlight town, but it's grown so much, and I was impressed. You know, but that impressing can be a good thing. And it, too often times, is... it's not a good thing. It's a bad thing. Because it's the people that we're trying to impress really shouldn't be people that we should be trying to impress. This is no different in Scripture. In Galatians chapter 1, beginning here in verse 6, I want us to kind of set the tone for what we're going to look at. In Galatians chapter 1, beginning in verse 6, Paul writing to the church at Galatia, one of the very first epistles, if not the first epistle that Paul penned and wrote to a church that we have for us, here is what he says to them. He begins by saying, I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach you to a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you receive, he is to be accursed. You see, many of the Galatian brethren were being persuaded, were being perceived to be distorted to start doing many of the Jewish customs and the Jewish laws and start doing them, really for them, the first time. Namely, this idea of circumcision and carrying on the traditions and the customs of the Jewish law. Now, when they were doing these things, they really have forgotten and laid aside that beautiful thing which Jesus Christ had given to us, is that freedom from the law. And Paul is trying to tell them, you don't need to start doing anything else other than what I have told you to do about the gospel. And so with this in mind and with these things in mind, let's look at how somebody tried to impress somebody else. That somebody would be Peter. In the next chapter over in Galatians chapter 2, beginning in verse 11, when Cephas, that is Peter, came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face, because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles, but when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. And the other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. And when I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas in front of them, you are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs? Well, what was the problem here? Well, the problem was that Peter was trying to impress those, if you will, those Jew Christians. Those Jewish people who were converted to Christianity, who were holding on to some of the stuff that they had done all their life. Keeping the ideas of the law of the food and of the celebrations and of the feast and doing all these things that were really, they were Jewish things that the law had been destroyed. They had been relieved of doing those things. They didn't have to do them anymore. Well, Peter was trying to impress those people that thought that way. Now, Peter would go and he would socialize with those Gentiles and he would have a good time with them and he would, you know, encourage them and lift them up and he would bring them to Christ. And if you think about who Peter was over in Acts chapter 10, remember he went to who? Cornelius, right? He went to Cornelius, that first Jew-Gentile conversation. Peter being the Jew, going to that Gentile Cornelius and converting him to go to Christianity. Peter was told, you go, arise, kill and eat. Nothing is unclean in my eyes. This is your job. This is your duty. There's no Jew. There's no Gentile. There's no separation anymore. There's simply those who follow Christ and simply those who do not follow Christ. So when Peter would go out, he would go to those Gentiles and he would go and he would converse with them and he would talk with them and he would eat with them and he would discuss things with them. But when others came, those Jewish people came, those Jewish converts came, he would just go, hey, well, you know, I ain't got no use for them. I'm going to go over here. You think back to your little group of friends. You know, you might actually be pretty nice. You can think back to, I mean, how high school is so closely in my memory. You might actually be a good guy or girl, and you might talk to that person that gets picked on and made fun of, and you might care about them, and you might try to encourage them and tell them everything's all right, until the group of cool kids come along that you really wanted to impress. And you just said, yeah, I laughed at you. Knock your books out of their hand too. Yeah, I'll join them over here. And you was really, you were a nice guy. You were doing what you were supposed to do until somebody else came along that you wanted to impress. That you wanted them to think you were cool too. Well, that's exactly what Peter was doing, wasn't it? He wanted to fit in with all the Jews. With all those Jewish converts. He wanted them to be impressed with him. Because he didn't have anything to do with them old Gentiles. They ain't as good as us anyhow. But Paul confronts him with the truth. The truth is the fact that there is no separation between the Jew and the Greek anymore. There's no slave, there's no free, there's no male, there's no female. It is all one in Christ. There's no hierarchy within the body of Christ. We're all equal. We should be sharing with one another. We should be discussing with one another. We should be rejoicing with one another. But Peter was not doing that. And Paul goes to him and confronts him about this. He had done pulled away those people who Paul had such great caring for. Barnabas, it even mentions, the son of encouragement, had become discouraged and blinded by what Peter had done. See, we are released within Christ from the Jewish customs and with the Jewish law. You see, Paul, he did not seek to please men. It says in verse 16 of Galatians 2, Now know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we, to have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ, not by the works of the law, because by the works of the law, no one will be justified. You'll be only justified by your faith in Christ. Regardless of who you are, regardless of your nationality, regardless of where you've come from, you will only be justified by the faith that you have in Jesus Christ. Not by the things you do in keeping of the law, but in Christ alone. Paul tells the Galatian brethren in verse 10 of chapter 1, where we stopped reading a moment ago, in verse 9, he says this, "For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." I want you to think about that. Answer those questions for yourself this morning. Am I seeking the favor of men or of God? Am I striving to please men? Or am I trying to please God? What are you trying to please? Who are you trying to impress by your actions? You see, Paul was saying, you know, if I wanted to please men, if I wanted to impress men, I would have stayed a Jew. I was from the tribe of Benjamin. I learned from the feet of Gamaliel. I had slew, I had stoned, I had drove out of town, and even killed many people who put on the name of Christ. If I wanted fame and fortune and people to stand in awe at me, I would have stayed a Jew. Because I was on the highway to the top. I was going to be the man. I had everything to lose in this flesh by putting on the name of Christ. But I don't care about pleasing men. I care about pleasing God. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21, Paul said, "For to me to live is Christ, but to die is gain." In man's eyes, Paul had everything to lose and nothing to gain. But by becoming a Christian, he truly gained everything. Over in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, Paul says something so clear. We say we have a song in our songbook that puts this out perfectly. It's exactly just singing this verse. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. If you were to say that verse, would that be a true statement or would that be a lie? Have you really been crucified with Christ? Have you really put to death your wants, your cares, your ambitions, and put them all aside to follow after Him? And let Christ live in you? Or have you held on to all the things that you want to impress men with and to make man think you're cool or somebody? And you said, you know, I want to follow Him, but I'm going to drag all this junk behind. To live pleasing to God, to live pleasing to Him, that's it. It's not about man. It's not about mom or dad or the kids or the grandparents or your aunt or uncle or the boss at work. It ain't about any of those people. It's about pleasing God. My desires for myself I have put to death because Christ lives in me. Does Christ live in you? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him, to be pleasing to God. The Pharisees over in John chapter 12, at hearing Jesus talk, they were intrigued by His words and by what He spoke. Those people who were to be the leaders of the religious world, the leaders of the children of Israel, those Pharisees, those people who were to know the law, leading the way, so to speak, when they finally have the one who was prophesied about, the Messiah, and they have Him and they go, you know, this guy, He might be the real deal. This is what happened in verse 42. Nevertheless, many, even of the rulers, believed in Him. But because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing Him, for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the approval of men rather than the approval of God. Knowing what's right, knowing what I need to do, knowing where I stand in front of God on the day of judgment, what would be my end result? Where would I be sent? Would I be sent to heaven or would I be banished in hell? Knowing exactly where I stand. But yet these people said, you know, I would rather have hell and be approved of by men here on this earth than I had been having the approval of God and living in eternity with Him. Enjoy this 80 years, some odd, that you may have on this earth if the approval of men is your desire, because that's all you got. That's it. At the end of it, there won't be any more fun. There won't be any more games. There won't be any more glee and happiness, because it's going to all be over. Your approval has been disapproved of by God. That's what these people had chose to do. Enjoy the follies of this earth over the glory and the happiness of God. Are the things that we do today, that we do, that you are doing, are they for man's approval so that man's impressed by who you are? They really got it together, don't they? Boy, that's somebody over there. You do things to have people impressed, like Peter was trying to impress all the all his friends. Like the Pharisees or those Jewish leaders trying to impress the Pharisees. They were, even amongst themselves, they were torn by acceptance. You think about Herod. Oh, Herod. Over in Acts chapter 12, they started talking about Herod and how he had the voice of God. And he thought, yeah, huh? I'm pretty somebody, ain't I? Fell over dead and was eaten by worms. Well, that's a glorious looking sight, isn't it, for somebody so happy? He didn't tell them to hush. He didn't tell them to be silent. Everyone was flocking to Stephen and had his words, but he said, it's not about me, it's about God. People were following at Peter's feet and said, get up, don't worship me, worship God. You think about even Pilate. Even Pilate. Why did he crucify Christ? He sought to do the Jews a favor. He was moved by votes. He was willing to put to death Jesus, the one who said, I find no fault in him, but hey, this is what y'all want, and y'all are all going to think I'm pretty cool. We'll do it. Have you put another nail into the hands of Christ because you want to be cool and you want everybody to say, he's all right, she's okay? Or do we stand like Paul, willing to stand up to those type of people who are hypocrites, who are willing to serve and impress man? Do we stand up like Paul, fully commit ourselves to God regardless of the price in this flesh that it cost us? If you're here this morning, we have one thing that we want you to do. We want you to take up your cross and follow after Him. To come to Him. To be willing to submit yourself to God's will and seek out God's approval. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.